family, welcome back to Ellen Foundation's Unheard Voices. I'm your host, Pam Price. Always great for you to tune in and join. I know it's been a few days. I've just been so crazy busy and then, you know, dealing with the snow. So I do hope that you guys are taking care of yourselves and staying warm and most importantly, making sure that you wear your mask. Join our conversation today. We're talking about supporting the community during COVID. You know, we all need that help. So feel free to join the conversation. You can dial in at 914-219-0892. Again, 914-219-0892. So as you guys know, you guys have followed me for such a long time, and you know, Ellen Foundation's about putting back into the community and serving them the best way that we can, and also doing partnerships and making sure that you guys have the proper information. And I felt that, you know, during this time with COVID, here we are 1 year later, and it doesn't seem like we've gotten any better. So I have a co-host, so I want to introduce you to my co-host before we jump into it. His name is Alpheus Price. He's one of my board of directors, and we have a very passionate conversation when it comes time to this. Al, say hey.
Well, hello. How are you doing today?
So family, we just wanna just wanna have a quick conversation and just in watching where our where the United States has gone, you know, since the impact of this of COVID. Unemployment is at the all-time high. People are just not getting enough food, and of course, it's people of color who are lacking even the more. So right now, based on the reports that are coming out of the Washington Post, they're showing that one in six adults with children lack sufficient food. And of course, in the communities where there are more Black and Brown families, the rate is even higher. And this is data as of June 6, 2021. And so, Al, I know we talk about this all the time. So, and you know the numbers off the top of your head. You're better at that than I am. I have to always go back and look it up. So, as far as the unemployment and where things are with COVID. So let's talk about where we are compared, like now with unemployment and how the rates have grown. And what is it? I think I saw that our unemployment is back to when it was depression time. Was that right?
Yes, it's a startling number. The number is unfathomable as far as I'm concerned. It's unsustainable. We really need to get this COVID situation under control so that we can get back to work and get back to a normal way of life. It's unsustainable at this point.
And I do know, in which we've talked about at some points, that last year, Ellen Foundation had fed hundreds, especially like right around the holiday time. The request to get food is just crazy.
And that was amazing, Pam. That was amazing, feeding that many people. Right? It's a wonderful job Ellen Foundation is doing with that.
Yay! Thank you. And even just the kids being out of school too, you know, I know that, you know, Bill Nye, the Science Club, I mean, we always had like virtual educational things. I remember like way back when you were young and I was a baby, I know you like that. What was
that?
Was
a few
remember,
days ago.
Remember those cartoons that used to come on and they were talking about conjunction junction? Remember on what was it on Saturdays
on
ABC? So I mean, yeah, I'm dating myself. So back then, I mean, it was always we were still learning, and they did it in a place where it was fun. Where now, you know, and so you also have, you know, you had Bill Nye, the Science Guy. You had Mr. Rogers. You had what is it, Sesame Street? All these things that that taught us, you know, that continued the education. But now, education in a virtual platform it's just a lot for our young people, our young kids to take, right?
And you know, Pam, it's so difficult because I have some schools under my wing in New York, and some are charter schools, so they actually have more facilities to do virtual learning, and they have the tablets and everything else. But some of the public schools, it's really a challenge for them to get all the tablets, all the things they need for these classes. And to do virtual environment is much tougher than in a chartered school environment. And we really need to step up our resources to these public schools, especially in order to get them up to speed.
Yeah, it's hard because not all families have access to, you know, 24-hour cable service where, of course, they cannot get, you know, access their work online. Or if there's a family that has four or five children at home and you only have one laptop, how are these kids, you know, learning? Like you said, some of the schools are not able to provide or the resources are very limited. I do know that in one of the school that Mercedes teaches and family, you know, Mercedes is my daughter, that they actually, families just got laptops on Martin Luther King holiday.
Oh, my goodness. That is the problem. That is the issue. We're falling far behind our counterparts in this education, and we're going to lose a year, which means we'll probably lose three or four as far as trying to catch up, because, you know, education is something that has to be repeated and repeated grade after grade in order for kids to stay up to par. And once you lose a full year, maybe a year and a half with this COVID thing, it's going to be very difficult for our kids to get back up to speed.
And not even only on the educational piece, but you're looking at the impacts of the mental and behavioral health of not only just the kids, but the adults. So, you know, these kids, they're no longer able to get out and play with their friends. They're just stuck with their family, and because after a while you get tired of looking at your family all the time.
Sure.
You want to go outside and play. You want to go outside and interact with your family. And same thing with adults, where now a lot of adults are working from home, and along with working from home, the adults now have to educate their children, as well as make sure that they're doing their homework. So for the adults, it's a whole different type of mental health issue, because there's no downtime.
Yes, new stresses are everywhere in the family, not only from them trying to teach, educate, work, and also, one of the prime things that we're missing as far as the school is concerned with virtual learning is the kids are no longer getting lunch. And for some kids, that is the major meal of the day.
Right.
This is a problem in the United States. hunger is everywhere. It's rampant throughout our society. Some of us forget it because we don't see the cars in line for miles in order to get a box of food. This is a tragedy beyond tragedies.
Yeah, it's I do know there were parts in Texas, and I know in New York, I think it was in the Bronx, where I saw that the line was wrapped around the corner to get food.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it just reminds you of back when it was, gosh, 1920-ish somewhere when the stock market fell and everybody was screaming and nobody had food. It's crazy. So now I'm just kind of wondering. So the SARS was what, in 2003, the SARS outbreak? I think that's right, the 2003. And and that lasted about 6 months. So from that, I mean, not a lot of people, I mean, people got sick, but not at this magnitude. What do you think? And I know we just talking, and we're not going to hold anybody, like Pam and Al said, it's going to be over. So family, do not hold us accountable. We're just having a conversation here. So like, and just in looking at this and in knowing that, you know, that outbreak only lasted six months. Here we are 12, 13, almost 2 months later with COVID. And it's just amazing. I don't know. How long do you think this will last? Do you think we'll go back to normal? you like that? I can't even say when, because I don't even think there's a normal.
That will be a long time off, going back to normal, because even once the vaccines are administered, the fear will still be there. Mm-hmm. The fear will last far longer than COVID-19 and the stresses that is putting on society. If you can imagine going back into a theater again or going on a cruise ship.
Now, I know, right? And I love going on a cruise ship. Now it's just like, I am not, because you're afraid to touch all that.
Yes.
Not the same.
The fear will last a lot longer than the disease.
Yeah. So, and this data that I'm looking at is just all from SARS to kind of give us an idea of what we'll probably be looking at down the line. So it says that when SARS, 15% of SARS survivors experience psychological symptoms, 30 months. What is that? 2.5 years. After the infection, and a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder and depressive orders after that. So that's based on something that lasted only 6 months. And it took 2.5 years for people to at least come out of this. So here it is. We're with the pandemic. It's you figure we're what, 12 months, so it's going to take 4 or 5 years for people to even come out of their symptoms, their post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes, disorders. Yes, definitely, because that will linger on and on. You see the deep divisions that are happening in society. Also, we're fracturing as a society because we're being torn apart from each other because of the distance. Everyone's going on the internet and finding themselves lost in it. And we're now in a position where it's going to take a long time for you to even trust your neighbors and your neighbors to start trusting you again, or even giving you a smile. It's a very difficult time.
Well, I got to tell you the truth. So, and you know, I always just kind of like give you that look if something don't sit well, but if somebody sneezes or something and they're so close to me, I'm like looking at them where it's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you all sneezing up on me? Or I'll just come, be like, ew, that's like, I mean, and that's a shame because you feel that you can't even sneeze or cough in public because somebody's going to be looking at you, or feel that, you know, just because of an allergy sneeze, people are going to be like, oh my gosh, she's got COVID, you know, and start running for pills.
What used to be a natural act is now getting to be something you'll just take in your chest and just hold it so long it almost kills you.
You hold it until you can get someplace. And even if I'm in a store and somebody comes up really close behind me, then I turn around. And if they're standing way too close, I will push that basket back. Or if I see that their mask is like below, and that drives me crazy. It's like, how do you not wear a mask above your nose? I mean, I know that they're hard to breathe, but you know, if they don't have their mask on their face, right? I'll be like, hey, did you know your mask is not? And people get so upset about wearing a stupid mask.
I tell people all the time, it's not a chin guard. And it's not a fashion statement.
Man,
the people wearing it under their chin on top of their head, or like, and then they get COVID and they wonder why.
Yeah.
I wore
it. Why do I have it? Yeah. it's just at a point where it's so sad that we are in a nation where we cannot interact with each other anymore. I remember I used to always wonder why, you know, my Asian friends or people from Asian countries, I would see them wearing a mask. And it's like, why are you guys always wearing a mask? But now I know, you know, because it protects them and it protects the other people. And I know that our country, and family, if you want to call in and talk about policies and political stuff, this is not the show for it. But I know that a lot of people believe that it's their right to choose to wear your mask or not wear your mask. But I would think that because, you know, this thing is just running through families, that it's just, you know, how long do you wear a mask to what? Go into a grocery store and come out, or go into a store or come out.
Right.
What, 15, 20 minutes? In the car, I take mine off because it's just me in the car.
Right.
I don't know. I personally think it's selfish. That's my personal opinion.
Well, you know, one thing I found, it keeps your face from getting cold in the winter.
Right? Isn't that like the best thing? It's like, oh, man, why wasn't I wearing this even before? My face is all nice and warm.
You might see a new trend coming.
Shoot.
Especially in the north.
Yeah, it's like my face is all nice and warm when I go out. But it is. It's sad about, you know, how our communities are divided on this issue of supporting the families and making sure our families are healthy. And I know that there are people, you know, as we said at the top of the show, that there are so many people that are in need of help and resources. What do you think about organizations or the best way for not only just organizations like Ellen Foundation, but your neighbor? What do you think? How do you think we can go back to old school? Because remember, when we were growing up, your neighbors always looked out for you. And I know people are afraid, but you can leave food on the doorstep if you know that family is no longer working and they're struggling.
Right. You know, I found the best thing to do is I'm reaching out more and more to all of the people that I know. And the ones that don't have someone, especially, and making sure that they are all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the kind of guy that calls all the time. But, you know, in these times, you need to call those people more and more because they are no longer attached to reality and society like we were before COVID. And it's just a good thing to give them a call and reinforce that somebody's thinking about them, someone is remembering them. And in that way, you keep them in the family loop. You keep them in a place where they can feel that they're still thought about and loved. And
mm-hmm.
that right now is the most important thing in the world. It might be more than a chicken wing that they might need, because
yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
Mental sanity in a place where they can continue to strive and try to make progress out here.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement, and it helps, and I think we talked about this before, that domestic violence has risen since COVID has taken place, because the survivors would use, and even with the students, the way out, they would use school or work as a way of being able to get out and have a minute to breathe. But right now, they are all in this home, and Lord knows, if you only have a 2-bedroom apartment, there's not much places for you to go and hide. Yeah, so and what you said was, like you said, it's important, because a lot of people, we don't know what's going on. So it is important to stay connected, so that way if we know that somebody's in need of help, we can help.
Definitely, because they say even in the with the schools not being open,
mm-hmm.
they can't monitor the kids and their safety, and
mm-hmm.
therefore the family's safety, because that was always a way that they monitored how people were surviving and getting along, because they would it would filter through the school, through the teachers, and go to social services that there's something awry. But without the schools being in, now you have this door that's closed to social services, and all manner of things are happening in the home right now, and it's a tragedy, and we really got to get a handle on it as soon as possible.
I did. I watched some news yesterday. I'm trying not to get so consumed with all this news. I try not to watch it every day. But I did watch where now they are really pushing to get more vaccines out, because a lot of people, a lot of states have not been able to vaccinate, their teachers and some of the seniors. But I saw that who's it? The Jacob Javits Center is now in New York is going to be opening up to accept people to start receiving vaccines. Right? Is that? Did you hear that?
No, I missed that. Say it again.
So I was watching on the news that they in New York, and it, because that's like one of the main epicenters where it was large. They're actually reopening the Jacob Javits Center, where people can start getting their vaccines again. It's supposed to be opening sometime this week.
I hadn't seen that. Well, that's welcome news, because a center of that size would be able to hold a large
mm-hmm.
capacity of people. That's one of the largest facilities in New York, and they can
mm-hmm.
come through and get vaccinated, because the main thing with vaccinations is that the entire United States gets vaccinated and we get that herd immunity. And once we do, we're able to wait for that next vaccine to come, and eventually, hopefully, they'll get ahead of this virus, and we won't see the sickness and the death that we're seeing at this point.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how everybody has come together to try and get the communities taken care of. So what other ways do you think that we all can come together and help support each other, those families? Again, like if outside, along with the call, what else do you think we should be doing food, just.
Well, besides the calls, it's really tough at this point to figure out how to interact with people. And, you know, I text, I call, I try to, I've even started, even thinking about starting to write again, you know, because no one writes anymore.
Yeah.
I said, what would happen if I sent a letter to someone?
I started doing that, too.
What statement that would make?
Yeah, I started writing again.
Write a letter. It's more personal. It's more, it says that you made an effort. So I thought about doing that, and I think I might take myself up on that.
Yeah, I started doing that again. Like, I would send, I mean, I haven't gone, like, far out. I was, like, to the nieces and to the nephews, I've sent out just a card just to say, hey, you know, because after a while, I don't even look at my text immediately anymore because I get so bombarded with stuff.
Most definitely, especially Ellen Foundation.
Yeah, we got so much stuff going on. So, so share what you got going on now for you. What do you have in the works? I know you and I haven't talked in a while, and we've mm-hmm. just been so busy. Like, what do you guys got going on that we can get involved in?
Well, I've been getting ready to do a mailing, and that would be a mailing within the tri-state area, and try to get some advertisements and mailings out so that we can the word out to more and more cities and more states, and also do some calling and talking more about the foundation, getting people interested in, getting people more aware of what we do and how we do it.
Did you see my video?
No.
What? What? You didn't see that? Well, it's like 4 or 5 years old, but that's still until I can find time to get a new one done. But yeah, I sent you a video.
Oh.
Jeez, that's crazy.
I don't always get them. Like you said, we get bombarded.
I know, you get bombarded with there. So, family, you know, if you can't tell, this is my brother, and we talk about so much on what's on what's happening and how we can provide resources and tools. So, you know, if you or someone in your family or someone that you know is in need of immediate help for food, especially if you're in the DMV area, as you know that this is where Ellen Foundation is primarily located, just give us a call, 301-304-6651, or send us an email at info@theation.org. Now, if you are outside of the DMV, because I know this show broadcasts throughout the U.S., and if you or your family member need help and you don't know where to go, feel free to reach out to us as well, and we'll make sure that we put you in touch with someone in your community that is able to help you along the way. And if you want to talk to, you know, about how can you become involved in supporting the work that we do, and or just how do you volunteer for an organization, you can reach out to, again, to Ellen Foundation, or if you want to talk more with Al, is it okay if they give you a call and just kind of talk about how they can help support?
Problem.
Why don't you
not
give them your contact
Please
information?
Do. My phone number is 908-477-3941. My email, Althea. I know, that's a good one.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I always stay on him about checking his emails. That's why I laugh when he said that. But we will. He will check the emails. He will.
Definitely.
Give me your email address, Al.
My first name, Alpheus, A L P as in Paul, H E U S, Alpheus. Price is in the Price is Right. Alpheus Price at gmail.com.
Awesome. Family, let me give you our email again. It's info at the lmfoundation.org. Continue to follow us on social media. Twitter, Instagram is LM Foundation 1. If you want to search us on Facebook, it's Life Ministry Foundation. Feel free to call us if you're not certain on how to get help with domestic violence, food, any of those services. Please reach out to myself or reach out to Al, and we can get you in, put you in help, in touch with someone that can help. So even though we are in Maryland, we will help anyone throughout the U.S. Al is located in Jersey, and he's located just outside of New York. And I'm in Maryland, and we cover all of the Washington, D.C. metro area. And even up as far as Philly and also Delaware. So we can get you the help you need. Like Al said earlier, make sure that you check on your family and your loved ones, especially if you know that they are alone, and start writing. Al is?
Yes.
Al's writing that letter.
And that's
right,
a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, family, continue to stay warm and stay safe. Al, you got any last things you want to put out there before we say goodbye?
Just to stay safe, and family, it's so nice talking to you today. I appreciate being here.
Family, stay tuned. We're going to have actually today's a two-session day. I know sometimes I don't come on air every day, but today is a two-session. So come back at 5:30 where we're going to talk about how to manage your finances. We have an accountant that's going to come on that is going to walk you through the best ways to manage your monies during this time of COVID. If you're receiving unemployment, or you know you decided to retire, or even if you're working, how do you save the money? Because we're not certain. So please tune in at 5:30. Al, thanks so much for tuning in, for joining the conversation. We're gonna finish this later.
Yeah.
Family, stay warm, stay safe. Thank you so much, and we look forward to talking soon. Thank you so much. We'll take care. Bye now. Al, I'll call you back later.
Got it.